took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, welcome back to another episode. I love that word, episode, Barry, of Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David.
I'm Pastor Barry.
And our desire is to serve the Lord by helping our listeners to prepare as members of the body of Christ, of the church, for the second coming of Christ. And we don't know when, but he's coming soon. So mm-hmm. he wants his church to be ready, and we're doing our part. And there's so many others out there doing their part. So welcome. It's we can't see you, so I can't say it's good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you, David.
Well, it's good to see you, Barry.
I haven't seen you in a few moments. So
I know. It's been literally minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, we have been for the last 2 weeks covering the topic of revival and trying to go deep into some areas that we believe the Spirit has led us. Last time, some of you may not be listening now because of some of the things we talked about, and there were hard things we discussed after we recorded that session, how hard it was to do.
But you know, David, Jesus talked about all the difficult things, too.
He did, yeah.
You can't shy away from things if they're controversial or uncomfortable.
And he said to his disciples, you know, that people will be offended by what you say on my behalf. And some of them, he didn't say this, you know, it implied but not expressed, but some of them will be members of your own church.
Mm.
You know, and I found this to be true as a pastor. Preaching the gospel, the truth from the pulpit isn't always refreshing, not well received by people.
But you've got to preach the whole truth but the truth.
You have to, and mm-hmm. God honors that. So this is what we're seeking to do. And so we want to pick up, and this we'll probably pick up on revival again at some point down the road, but we're kind of bringing to a close in this third session on the issue of revival.
Mm-hmm.
So Barry, we'd sort of thought that you might start by reading the scripture for this session.
It would be my pleasure. Thank you, David. Today's scripture reading comes for us from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 34 through 36. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together.
Mm.
Mm, the word of the Lord.
Wow. And these verses from John have been rising up again and again in my study, and I know the study of many of my brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
And as well as, because you're one of them, Barry, and we've talked about this is meaningful for today.
It's very appropriate and very relevant.
And we're in America right now, and as many of you know, we talked last time we mentioned the return, which was an event that began on the 26th of September, put together by a group of Christian pastors who have a heart for this nation and for the healing of our land, and that must start with repentance. And so the return was simply to return to God through repentance and to repent for the sins of our nation as well as for our own. And God, I believe, has heard that, he's received that. The return continues, of course. They continue mm-hmm. to do teachings and videos and very helpful stuff to keep us going. But because these verses from the fourth chapter of John are absolutely right on for today. The harvest is happening. The fields are white. The crop is ready,
ripe
to be taken into the storehouse of God, and those are the souls. It's a harvest of souls, and so it's America, but it's also going to be the world. America has had a covenant with God, still has a covenant with God that was made 400 years ago, We would be like a city on a hill, like with the, you know, like from the parable, Jesus said, the light, can't put a light under a bushel like a city on a hill. It's going to needs to be seen. And so we are not, God has taken all the, is taking the bushels away that have been hiding the light. And so that we can be the light of Christ, the light of Christ coming through us, Barry, through all the, those who believe. And it's that light that's going to shine on those fields ripe for harvest.
And if you're looking at those fields with the eyes of God, if you can look at all the fields and look at the people with an honest and open heart, look at them. And is everybody in your life, in your circle of friends, and your family, ready to be harvested? And if not, that should give you a sense of urgency to bring these people to the cross. And David, I always talk about the intimate moment with Christ. Are they really ready? And if not, you know, do you stand silent? Do you sit down and say, I'm ready? Well, that's good that you're ready.
Yes.
But
yes.
If you truly love your fellow man, if you love your family and friends, the woman at the grocery store, the mailman, the people that you know or that have told you that they've denied Christ, if you don't want them in that final judgment, in the great white throne judgment, and they're going to be harvested either way,
yes,
that you need to stand up for Christ. Walk forward. Get over the maybe the fear you have of speaking about Christ, the awkwardness. Pray for courage. Pray for his words, not yours.
Amen.
To bring them to the cross.
That's right. Jesus said, you know, in this reading from John, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And because it's his food, it's ours as well. Everything about the ministry of Jesus applies to his church today. And so our food then is to do the will of him who sent us. And you, what is his will, you might ask? Well, first of all, you can find it out in detail by reading his word, because his will is clearly there in both Old and New Testament.
That's right.
Essentially, his will is to save those whom he has created. He loves us. His love is, it's not quantifiable by any means that we have. We can only know it in our spirits. But he loves us so much, he sent Jesus to die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin. And that's a truth. Jesus said, my food, what is my food? What is food? Well, food is that which sustains the body.
Sustenance.
In fact, you can look at me and say, that man is well sustained. You know, and
David,
that's okay.
I would never say that in front
know.
Of you. I wait till I get behind your back.
Yeah. Which takes a while, right? Because I'm so well sustained. But he's talking, this for us is to understand, this is spiritual food. This is the food, you know, Jesus talks about himself. He says, this is what he says, and it's in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. And of course, the phrase I am is his way of saying God. I am God. So I am the bread of life. I am the living water. Listen, read all those things, because that's the spiritual expressions that we really need to take into our hearts. Then that's our food, Jesus. We are to be sustained in all kinds of ways. In the flesh, yes, with food. We put on the plate, we cook it or not, but with Jesus, it's he is the bread of heaven. He is the living water. And he is the light of the world. And, you know, we're getting back to the agricultural metaphors, plants need light. And so we are planted in the fertile ground of his life.
Well, you can also use a biological metaphor that the soul is alive and needs to be fed.
Absolutely.
And you can only feed your soul with the word of God. And if not, it will starve. Or
it will.
We will sin. We will try and feed that soul with things that are ungodly.
That's right.
And is that any way to be prepared for the harvesting? No. No.
And that what you just said makes me think of, taking what he talks about. And Jesus always used in his parables, in his teachings, things that the people understood. They were people of the earth. Mm-hmm. They were fishermen and farmers. But everybody, even the professionals, well understood these agricultural metaphors. So when he talks about the look at the fields and they're ripe for harvest, think for a minute. Put yourself, now listener, into the role of a farmer, because in a way, we are farming with Jesus. You know, we are looking at those fields as a farmer would, and as there's nothing in Scripture that talks about the great farmer. We have the great shepherd, the good shepherd. You know, we have all those things. But I think we could say safely that the Scripture would allow us to see Jesus also as the great farmer, and we work with him. So what if a farmer fails to harvest his crops when they're ripe? What happens?
Well, the crops will rot in the field.
Yeah, they will, and all that effort that brought them to that point of harvesting will be lost.
Yeah, I can use my wife as an example. She has this green thumb, and we have neighbors and family members that bring their plants that look quite dead, wilted, dried up, just nasty looking, and they'll bring them to her. And she takes the time to nurture them, water them, fertilize them, feed them.
Yes.
And lo and behold, you'll see green shoots coming out again, and
yes,
life is there again. You know, there are people that come to us as pastors saying, I've done everything. I sound like David again. I've done everything I can. Can you please talk to my son, my daughter, my grandchild?
Yeah.
Because I've planted the seeds and I've tried, but it's just not taking. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. You know, people may be going to a preacher, a pastor, a minister, and perhaps they're not being spiritually fed.
Yeah,
and it happens.
Yeah.
So, hey, go to another church.
Yes.
Go to someone else. You know, this is an emergency.
Yes.
Let's use the word emergency today, David. Urgency and emergency. Because like David said, we don't know when the second coming is happening. We don't know. Jesus himself didn't know. Only the Father knows. If you truly love your family and friends, bring them to someone with a spiritual green thumb.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And in the last program, we pointed out denominationalism and the fracturing of the church. There are over 30,000 denominations.
Mm.
But we also reminded you we weren't disparaging them.
Oh, no.
We were just pointing out that that's the way it is today, but that we believe firmly, and the Scriptures, I believe, support that in this time when God is bringing his Spirit to bear on the church today, the body of Christ, that his desired unity for the church is going to cause some changes to occur. And how we see ourselves, looking across the barriers of denominations to see that those people on the other side of the fence are believers just like us, and God wants to destroy the fences. Not necessarily to destroy the good things that we have picked up in our denominational journey. But what Barry just said makes me believe that I need to say also that if you are in a place under one of those denominational headings where you're not getting fed, where every time you leave on Sunday you feel that not only did you not get anything to sustain you, but you're being sucked dry spiritually, it may be time, maybe the God is saying it's time to look for a different church. And maybe to ask him to lead you to a congregation that is God-honoring and Bible-believing and is that supports and teaches and encourages the essential Christian message, regardless of what name they call themselves, regardless of that.
Amen. One of the many times that the Lord has pulled the veil back for me and shown me when it was the most important days of my life as a pastor, as a disciple of Christ, was when I was working with a homeless shelter. And we declared there was a date if the people who were homeless wanted to be baptized, that we would meet them at the river and baptize them. And I had this moment, and it still makes me tear up. So if I tear up, David, I'm going to have to leave the microphone for a minute.
Just don't short out the electronics.
No, I'll try not to get everything wet here. But I looked up and saw people from all walks of life, people from all different religious affiliations walking out of the woods into the river, laying down whatever possessions they had so they would be dry and walking out into the river. And I mentioned to another pastor who was assisting me in the baptizing that looking at their faces, this must be what heaven looks like. I saw big and small. I saw, you know, people who were honest about their sin life and wanted to be cleansed. They were desperate to be saved.
Yes.
And they were willing to let down the barriers and walk out on the water and be baptized.
Wow.
Not saying, I'm this or that, I'm from this background. No, they were simply seeking the grace of God.
Amen.
And it was such an honor that day to baptize each and every one of them. I just had to mention that because that is, people who are homeless in my life when I've worked with them, people who are homeless are blessed in a way, Dave, because they've let go of every vestige of whatever they've accumulated in their life, usually by their own fault, their own decisions, their own addictions, whatever it was. They were broken, completely broken in pieces, and they tell me now I can fully understand and fully love God because I don't have my stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the physical stuff. It was all the other stuff.
Yes.
And I never ask. I still don't ask, you know, what's your religion? What's your affiliation? I really don't care because I want them to come to Christ with an open heart asking for forgiveness. That's it.
The first question, and I know this is for you too, that that I ask people that I meet, and particularly those that are seeking, you know, pastoral care or whatever, is I say, who is Jesus to you? And that's the first question, because if the answer to that question is going to determine everything else that I do with them and for them. And what their doctrines or dogmas or whatever they've brought in from other places, those aren't the important things. Because if you don't know Jesus, nothing else works. You can't hang on to a doctrine or a dogma if you don't know Jesus. It doesn't work. It's not strong enough. You can lean on it. It will collapse. You know, just like much of the furniture I've built.
We know, David and I know a fellow in the area, and we're not going to call him out, but his name is Ed.
Yeah.
And on occasion, this man of management skills, of authority, will come to our church. And one of his favorite things to do when he preaches in the beginning of his sermon is he will look out upon this quiet little group in the congregation and say, not all of you are going to heaven, which causes an uncomfortable, awkward moment.
As a friend of mine loves to say, consternation among the assembled host.
Yes, self-examination.
Yeah.
But then he follows it up with, unless you have Jesus Christ in your heart.
That's right.
And I love that because it puts everything in perspective.
Absolutely.
Amen.
You know, I have to tell our listeners that although you're hearing this program on June the 27th, we're recording it on Memorial Day. And what comes to mind is, as we remember, Memorial Day has been set aside to remember all of the members, the men and women of our military throughout the decades of America who have given their all for the sake of the freedoms that we enjoy today. And I was thinking that in some ways, what we're talking about in these times with the second coming down the road, and what God is doing to prep the church is that to think about all those people who have, before they went into battle, prepared for that battle in whatever way they had been trained to do or they felt like they needed to, and throughout the history of our military from the very beginnings, there was always chaplains who would pray with the soldiers before they went into battle.
That's right.
And what we know is that they came from different denominational backgrounds.
That's right.
And some, I will say, probably didn't have a current church that they went to. Some may not have believed. But the point is that they came together, they put aside their differences for the sake of working toward the desired and hoped for victory of each battle represented. And for us then to know, this is a perfect metaphor because we are the church. We God fights the battles, but we are part of the army of God today. He is calling us out of our differences to fight the one battle that the church has always called to fight, knowing that when God calls us to fight, He's already given us the victory, even though, yes, we still have to go in battle. Today, for us, what does the church need to know? We can go to Ephesians 6, and we can study that. We don't have time to unpack that. Someday we may do that during but it is the full, within the sixth chapter of Ephesians is the full armor of God. And every Christian needs to read that, needs to study it. What does it mean for us individually? What does it mean for the church? Well, it means that even though God has the victory, the battle will be fought from beginning to end. And by those of us who come from so many different places, but come together in the body of Christ, called to be in union with the living God, given the gifts and the skills and the spiritual anointing to engage and to have victory against the enemy. Friends, that's what it's all about.
Amen, David. And as we get closer to the second coming, our old enemy, Satan, is making more and more noise and chaos, because this is quite alarming to the defeated one.
Yes.
And he wants to take down as many as he can before that glorious day. And if you just put on the TV and watch the news every night, you'll see evidence of this.
That's right.
And in your personal life, the closer you get to serving Christ, you may have noticed that there are more attacks.
Yes.
That you, your family, your loved ones, your church, and on it goes, are under attack because you're doing the right thing. You're doing a godly thing. You're doing the holy work of Christ, and he doesn't like that.
He doesn't.
And you've attracted his attention.
And what you pointed out is a truth. I just want to go below one more layer below that just to say that I don't believe the devil thinks that he can have victory over God.
Mm-mm.
He knows that he can't.
He knows he's defeated.
He just wants to have, as you said, as much company in hell as he can have to share that torment throughout time. And that's the truth. So this is where we are today.
Yes.
You know, I believe, folks, let's not be down. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be anxious. Jesus encouraged us not to, because he's got it.
If we're with Christ, we're looking forward to the harvest.
Amen.
Because we're getting closer and closer to that day of seeing his face.
Yes, yes.
And if you're not saved, these are terrifying times.
Yes.
So take comfort in the fact that if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, not your head, like David says, but in your heart, that this is a wonderful day coming. Do not be afraid.
And that leads me to ask Barry, because that, I believe the Spirit has called you, filled you with his truth and his power and anointing right now to pray for those folk who are terrified.
Oh, Holy Father, there are so many souls out there that are starving to death, thirsting to death, fearful, angry, all of the above, because they don't know you. I pray for each and every one of them that they have their moment where their heart is tugged, where they look up because their own management of their life is not working. And they hear Christians talking about a second coming. They hear a judgment's coming. They hear that the harvest is ripe. And that may set a degree of panic in their heart, Lord. And perhaps that's a good thing, because fear of hell.
Mm.
Holy Father, I lift all the Christians up in the world today. Mm. And I ask you to bless them with your words, your mighty words,
yes,
your courage through them, your purpose through them, that they may grab each and every one of these people in love and bring them to the cross and say, here, here, here is Jesus. Come to Jesus. He's waiting. Just surrender. Surrender yourselves to him. And in the surrendering, victory will be yours. Through Christ we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Ah, thank you, brother. I appreciate you doing that, and thank you all for listening. As we try to invite you to do is, if you have any ideas, anything the Lord gives you as themes that we can pursue in this program, Glorious Day, things that are maybe pertinent to you, for something you would like to have us unpack, you know, look at more closely, we'd love to do that. You can call this radio station, WCNO 89.9 FM, at their toll-free number. That's 888-221-8990. That's 888-221-8990. And just say whoever answers the phone. There's usually someone here from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Or you can leave a voicemail and say, those two pastors that I've been listening to on your radio station on Sunday morning or evening, I'd like for them to look at thus and so. And
yeah, because God speaks to all of you. He's not just speaking to David. Now he's speaking to your heart.
That's right. So until next time, may God bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and grant you his peace this day and forevermore.
Amen.
And have a good night or a good morning, depending on, again, what time of day you're listening. Barry, God bless you, brother. Thanks
God
for being here,
David,
with me.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
I was blinded, you gave me eyes to see. I was going under, you reached out to me. No, there's nothing you won't do to pick me up and pull me through. Every hour, 8 days a week, yeah. Your love is like a fountain. It'll never run dry, it'll never run dry. Come on.